Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Just so good to see you. Could everybody give me a big smile? We've missed you. Wow, you did smile. That's good. You look so good and you smell so good too. Amen. Just want to just say how good it is to have everybody in church today. And if you're new to Real Life Church, we just feel so honored that you would worship with us. So thank you so much for coming. And I also want to acknowledge people who are on Facebook and YouTube, because we've been watching church online and it's like a lifeline to the service while we've been away. Let me tell you, nothing can replace actually being in the house. But you know, if you're on holidays or you're unable to come because you're not well, then it's just a great alternative. I just want to welcome everybody at home and just believe in God for miracles today. You know, you've come, you've given of your time, you're here to meet with people, but you're also here to hear a word from the Lord. Is that right? And so I believe I got a word from God, and I'm just settling in into this right now as I'm looking around. We've been away, as Rochelle has said, and we went away for 3 weeks, as Rochelle said, to Melbourne. But I want to give you the two reasons, show you the two reasons why we were away. Okay, so could we have that first slide up, please? Okay, and you can make it, you have made it big. Now, you know, I'm not going to do this every week. You know, I don't want to bore you, but that's Luca. He's our two-year-old grandson. And so I spent a lot of time with him. We both spent a lot of time with him. We'd get up early in the morning, make sure Cherie had a bit of a rest. And we would take him out to the playground. He's, like I said, two. His concentration span is about 3 seconds. He's full of energy, but we just love him so much. That's actually, I took that photo with my phone, and you'll notice he's wearing a jacket because it was freezing in Melbourne while some of the days while we were there. So he's our first reason why we went over there. Let's have a look at the second reason. Oh, there's the second reason. So that's Hudson. He's 6 months old. And he is just such a beautiful child. He, of course, he's a beautiful child because he's my grandson. And but really, seriously, he doesn't cry a lot. He doesn't make a lot of noise. He's one of these chilled babies. He doesn't get upset too much. And but he smiles all the time. All you've got to do is walk by him, and he'll give you a smile. And then he wants to kiss you. And of course, he doesn't kiss like we would kiss as adults. That's how we kiss. Is that how we? That's how. Anyway, that's how Rochelle and I kiss. All right? And we'll leave that there. But he gives big sloppy kisses just like Luca does, and he's just beautiful, and we just love him to bits. And so we're just hoping, Ben and Sheree are talking about maybe coming over here at Easter time. So we'll see what happens, if they can make that happen. So they were the two reasons why we were away. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we just love you. Lord, we just love you. And Lord, we're just so glad that we can come and fellowship with one another. We're all busy people. There's things to do tomorrow, things we've done this past week. But we come here for just a couple of hours to get here and then back home again. Because, Lord, we like to meet with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But also, Lord, we want to worship together, and we just want to hear from you. And I just pray for my dear brothers and sisters today. I thank you for each and every one of them. I thank you, Lord, that your hand rests heavy for good upon my brothers and sisters. I thank you that this year, Lord, you've gone before them. And we declare and speak over this year a fruitful year. We say it's harvest time for us in 2021. But today, and that's all we got, we just pray right now that, Lord, our hearts will be good ground to receive your word. Pray, Lord, that our ears, Lord, will be open to you. Our heart will be open to you. And Father, I just pray that embedded within this message today will be the prophetic word of God for different people here today. There's people here today, Lord, are hungry just to get a snippet. Lord, just a snippet from you. Lord, I pray there'll be that now word, that rhema word, that prophetic word to people here. I pray for others who are looking for miracles, Lord. That, Lord, even as we go through this word and look at what you have to say, well, Lord, we pray for signs and wonders happening in people's lives. Lord, we pray today for people who come in here and they feel hopeless. Lord, we pray that hope will come. Lord, we bless one another today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. And they shouted, hallelujah. So once again, it's good to see you all. I want to thank Bethwyn and the team for the great job that they've done and the great speakers we've had. But the best is yet to come. Amen. So we're going to turn in our Bibles. Actually, I've got scripture on the screen. We're going to look at John chapter 11. We're just going to read the first three verses. Everybody, can you see that okay? Okay, you know, so here we go. John 11 says, a man named Lazarus was sick, and he lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. So we don't know anything about their parents. It's a brother and two sisters. Maybe they lost their parents. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us any things about that. It says, this is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. Lord, your dear friend is very sick. Jesus had a lot of good friends. And he was a good friend of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And we just read that Lazarus became very sick, seriously ill. And so his sisters, Mary and Martha, sent this messenger to find out where Jesus was and ask him to hurry up, come on, come, and heal your friend and our brother Lazarus. But, you know, Lazarus was very sick and he died before Jesus arrived to help. In fact, Jesus was so late coming that by the time Jesus arrived at their home, Lazarus had actually already been dead for 4 days. And the funeral activities were in full swing. Now, in the Bible days, everybody listening? Good. I'm just getting into this, right? I know I'm a bit rusty, but we're going to get better as we go along. In the Bible days, a person, it was different to today, obviously different era. When a person died, they were immediately embalmed with strips of cloth and they were quickly placed in a tomb. Then the tomb was sealed by a large round stone that was rolled across the entrance. That's what they did. They moved on it pretty quickly. The people in that part of the world, they were really keen to get the corpse into the tomb before the body of the deceased person started to decay and smell. I know that's gross, but that's how it is, how it was. And they did that because of the Middle Eastern climate. Got to get this corpse in the tomb as quickly as possible. Then once that had happened, which was usually on the same day, 24-hour day, then for 7 days, people from all over would just come and visit the family home, and these people would grieve with them. And in the Bible days, maybe you're not aware of this, the people did not grieve quietly. There was no quiet grieving in the Bible days. The people grieved loudly and with great emotion because they believed that the louder you're grieving, then the greater the honor that you were showing to the person who had passed away. That's what they believed. In fact, in the days of Jesus, you could hire professional grievers and weepers and wailers. Absolutely, absolutely. They might have hired people for this event and who, for a fee, they would help you to weep and grieve loudly. Imagine having that for a job. You know, you come home from work, how'd your day go? I just cried all day. That's what they did. And so here's Jesus, late, arrived in the middle of all of this loud weeping and crying, and it's so noisy. And of course, the truth is, Martha and Mary, they were just devastated. They were heartbroken by the loss of their brother Lazarus. Of course they were. Then as Jesus, the Bible says, saw and looked at the two sisters weeping, and then he looked at the other people wailing loudly, the Bible says that this deep anger welled up within him. Jesus became angry, and he was just deeply troubled by what he was seeing. But everybody, you need to understand, though he got angry, Jesus was not angry at the sisters. He was not angry at the people. Jesus Christ was angry at death. Because death is the enemy, everybody. Jesus then asked the sisters to take him to the tomb of Lazarus. And so off they went to show Jesus where the tomb was, presuming he would grieve the loss of his dear friend Lazarus, and he would grieve like everyone else. That's what they presumed. And the grieving friends followed them to the tomb as well. Then Jesus got to the tomb, and the Bible says this. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. John 11, verse 35. You can memorize this. Jesus wept. Can everybody memorize that together? Can we say it? If you don't know any Bible verses, you just learnt one just then, okay? Shortest verse in the Bible. It just says it all. Jesus wept. And the people saw Jesus weeping, and they presumed he was weeping for Lazarus. But they got it wrong. Jesus was not weeping for Lazarus, because we know what is to come. But he was weeping for all people of all generations, as we toil under the tyranny of death and decay. And Jesus had enough. And then Jesus abruptly, but firmly, looked at the sisters and said to them, "Get someone to roll the large stone away from the entrance." I suspect when he said that the crowd went quiet. Nobody's wailing. What did he just say? And there's tension in the air. What did he say? Did I hear him right? And they looked at the sisters to see how they would react to his outrageous and disrespectful instruction. Why would Jesus want the stone removed? Seriously? He should not demand such a disgraceful and disrespectful thing of these heartbroken girls. But Martha broke the silence, and she said to Jesus, "Lord, Lazarus has been dead for four days. The smell will be terrible." Actually, what she said was a loaded statement that she made to Jesus. Because you see, there was a Jewish belief at that time, and this Jewish belief said that a dead person's spirit hung around its body for the first 3 days of the death in the hope it could re-enter the body again. If it's unable to enter the person's body by the end of the third day, then all hope is gone and the person's spirit then goes to the place of the dead. Now, this belief they had was a superstition. It was not biblical, and I'm not suggesting it's true at all, but that's what they believed. And that's what the Jews believed at that particular time. So really, Martha, what she was saying to Jesus was this. It was a loaded statement, but this is what she was saying. "Jesus, don't you understand? It's too late for you to be messing with Lazarus. It's too late. He's gone. I know you care, Jesus. And I know you loved him. I even know you could have healed him if you'd been here. But we've reached the fourth day. His spirit is all gone. And with it, all hope is gone. Jesus, you've got to get this understanding. Lazarus is totally dead. And there's nothing that you can do about that." And that's what Martha, she wasn't being disrespectful, she was grieving. And that's what she was saying to Jesus. And Jesus knew exactly what she was saying in that loaded statement. But Jesus stood his ground. He just said to her, "Didn't I tell you earlier that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So Martha relented and allowed some strong men to roll back the stone. And it would have taken great effort. But as they did, as they rolled back the stone, the stench of Lazarus's decaying corpse swept over the silent and shocked onlookers. Perhaps even some people gagged, you know, and took steps backwards away from the tomb. Then Jesus stood his ground again. He just looked to heaven, thanked the Heavenly Father. Then Jesus, the Son of God, shouted into that stinking, smelly tomb, Lazarus, come out. And I think for some people here at Real Life Church, he might be shouting similar things into your stinking tombs today. Amen. I'll let you decide what that stinking thing might be. Amen. And at the shout of Jesus, the place of the dead shook. And the spirit of Lazarus made its way, however, back to his body. Everything remained silent in the tomb for a moment. Then the crowd heard this shuffling sound. Can you hear that? Just shuffling. Just shuffle. And Lazarus, awkwardly, but obediently, swayed and shuffled his way out of the tomb, wrapped in his grave clothes and with his face wrapped in a headcloth. He may have even looked like a zombie in those grave clothes, but he was alive. He was well. Everyone was shocked, and Lazarus was especially shocked. Amen, amen. They all stared at Lazarus as he shuffled his way towards Jesus. Lazarus was not only raised from the dead and alive, but he was not decaying anymore. He was restored and he was healed. And that's a good place to say amen. Come on. See, Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead on the fourth day, after all hope had gone. Even as the body was in a state of decay and starting to smell, Jesus defied Jewish superstition and the laws of nature, and he imparted life to Lazarus, because that's what Jesus Christ does. Praise the Lord! Then Jesus looked at Lazarus, all wrapped up in smelly grave clothes, and he said to the people, unwrap him and let him go. And they did. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, 2021 can be the year when God does some resurrecting in your life. He can resurrect your hopes and he can breathe new life into your dreams. You may even have shattered dreams that are broken, but God in 2021 can give you new dreams. This is a year of the resurrection. This is it's harvest time in 2021 for you here at Real Life Church. Amen. Nonetheless, can we all say that word together? It's a great word. Very similar to nevertheless. Nonetheless, if you belong to Jesus, he's actually already been raising you to new life. Some of you might have forgotten this, but I want to remind you about the time some time ago when you yourself lived in a spiritual tomb. You were a victim, or you were in spiritual darkness. You were cut off from God. Do you remember those days? And you were a victim of the consequences of your sinful nature. You were lost to God for all eternity. Maybe you've been a Christian for so long, you've forgotten about that. That's how you used to be. That's how you used to be. Sure, you went about your life as if everything was okay, but there was a spiritual stench about your life that made heaven gag and step back from you. Your wickedness was like filthy rags in the sight of God. And you went about your life existing in a spiritual tomb. And we were all once like that. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger. But God, who is rich in mercy, stopped by your spiritual tomb and he called out your name. Bethwen, come out! Stephanie, come out! Michael, come out! He called your name and you came running out of the tomb. Amen! He called your name. Maybe it was in a church service just like this today. Maybe it happened in your home or out in the street. Who knows? Either way, in your heart, you heard or you felt the voice of God calling out to you. And it was the best day of your life. Yeah. You know, I remember when the day I got married, it was 38 years ago, we had a wedding anniversary while we were in Melbourne. And I have this distinctive memory in my mind about Rochelle. I'm the young man, handsome young man. A lot skinnier in those days. And I was obviously at the front waiting for the bride. And I'll never forget, because the church in Armidale had a short aisle where she had to come down and then do a dog leg. And as she came around the dog leg, I just turned and we caught eyes. And she looked at me. I think she was surprised to see I was still there. I don't know what was going on. But let me tell you, that's right up there. It was one of the best days of my life. Holding my kids in my arms when they were born. Best days of my life. Getting kissed every day by your grandkids. Best days of my life. But none of them compare with the day when Jesus called me out of the tomb. Jesus. That's the best day of my life. And like me, you obediently responded. And by the grace of God's strength, you repented of your sins and you shuffled your way out of your tomb and you came to Jesus. And because God loves you so much, he's given you the gift of eternal life. You will never die again. Amen. The Bible says this, for God raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible calls this spiritual awakening the first resurrection. This is what makes you a Christian. If you haven't had this first resurrection, if you're still in your tomb, you're not a Christian. You've got to come out of the tomb, be raised back to life. Amen? That's the first resurrection. And because of the first resurrection you have experienced in your heart, you'll one day experience the final resurrection. This is what the Bible says when Jesus comes back again. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, and the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Wow. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. And ladies and gentlemen, there'll be no more death, there'll be no more pain, and there'll be no more curse, and there'll be no more suffering. Amen. The name Lazarus means God has helped. But God helped Lazarus rise from the dead. I want you to think about this. Because Mary and Martha took Jesus with them to the tomb of Lazarus. They took Jesus to where Lazarus was. If the sisters had said, "Oh, we've already been to the tomb today. We don't want to take you to the tomb." If the sisters refused to take Jesus to the tomb, then Lazarus would not have been raised from the dead. And just like you once lived within your spiritual tomb, so your family, so your friends who mean a lot to you, so your neighbors, your workmates, they also live within spiritual tombs where they're captive to the consequences of their sin, just like you used to be. These are people who are really important to you. These are people that you love, people that you respect, people who God desperately loves, people who may be very good and very kind people, but they're still far from God and they're lost in their trespasses and sins, and they don't even realize that they're dead to God. And so our God-given purpose, the reason why we're still breathing today, our God-given purpose as followers of Jesus is to take Jesus to the spiritual tombs of those who are lost to God. And we do that through our friendship, through our love, through our authenticity. Be the real deal. And ladies and gentlemen, there's just countless more Lazaruses yet to be raised from spiritual death. And Jesus said, "Open your eyes. The fields are ripe unto harvest." It's harvest time, ladies and gentlemen. And it's not our purpose to judge people. Stop it. It's not our purpose to correct or Bible bash people. And if you want to Bible bash somebody, you need a big Bible like this. Amen. Praise God. But, you know, seriously, our purpose is not to judge people. Our purpose is not to correct people. Our purpose is not to Bible bash people. It's not our purpose to win religious arguments. Winning an argument doesn't change somebody's life necessarily. You know, sometimes it's just not worth it. Our purpose is not to win religious arguments. It's not our purpose to tell people how to live their lives. Rather, we must keep the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing is to give people the chance to hear Jesus calling their name just like he did to us. That's the main thing. That's why we're here. And a real life church in 2021, brothers and sisters, let's just be simple about things. Let's simply keep the main thing, the main thing. Stay the course. Stay true to the purpose of God and bring Jesus to where people are. You don't have to be a preacher, Steve. Just bring Jesus to people. Now, that's my first point. Now, I'm nearly finished, sort of. Now, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, he was wrapped up like a Christmas present, tightly in strips of cloth everywhere. Even his head was wrapped in a cloth. Therefore, when he came out of the tomb, he would have shuffled along. Seriously, he would have shuffled along, swayed along. And it would have been very difficult when you think about it for him to walk freely and move his hands. And he would have struggled to have seen where he was going because of the cloth covering his face. Maybe he got raised up, he could see the difference between light and dark through the cloth, and he moved towards the light and the voice of Jesus. It really would have been hard for this guy wrapped up like that. So although Lazarus was alive, absolutely, healed, absolutely, and well, absolutely, his grave clothes would have still carried the foul odor of his death and decay. He was alive, but when he first came out, he smelled like he was still dead. He was alive, but smelled dead. It's interesting to note that Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead with a loud shout, "Lazarus, come out." But Jesus never commanded for the grave clothes to evaporate or fall from Lazarus's body. Instead, Jesus turned to the sisters and their friends and said to them, "You unwrap him and you let him go." He included them in the miracle. Jesus did that often. And Lazarus found himself needing other people to help him get out of his grave clothes. So they gathered around him and untied the knots and they pulled the cloth off him and he cooperated with them. However, just imagine if his sisters and friends had said, "I'm not touching him, he stinks. Does he know better than that? Can't he help himself?" "Well, no, he can't help himself, he's restrained." "Yeah, but he smells. I'm going to get hand sanitizer. I might catch something." So imagine if they refused. Or imagine if Lazarus said, "No, I'm rather comfortable. Been in these for 4 days. Got rather attached to them, really." And he hopped away from them, you know, as they're chasing him. Because he wanted to hold on to his grave clothes. And, of course, how ridiculous that would have been for Lazarus to have been raised from the dead and yet to have continued living with his grave clothes on. He would have been alive, but he would have been smelly and severely restricted in enjoying his new life. You people are really smart. You know exactly where I'm going with this. Yeah, I am going there. You know, Lazarus is us. He represents us. We've come alive to God when Jesus called our name. We left the tomb behind. We're now alive. We're headed for heaven. And that second resurrection, absolutely, it's not even in question. But we emerge from our spiritual tomb, still wrapped in our old grave clothes. We've been raised to new life and heaven is our home, but sometimes we still stink like we're dead. Who's sitting next to somebody who stinks like the dead this morning? Don't put your hand up. That was bad. I shouldn't have said that. We do. Sometimes, from a spiritual point of view, we stink like we're dead. But those grave clothes, what do they represent? The grave clothes represent our stinking thinking. I'll say it again. The grave clothes represent your stinking thinking, your wrong kind of thinking. The grave clothes represent our stinking thoughts and our foul attitudes and behaviors. That's what they represent. The grave clothes are actually a contradiction of the new life we received in our hearts. And we all know, even though we've come to Jesus, we still have thoughts, desires, and attitudes that are a part of our past life when we used to live in the tomb. And those foul attitudes, stinking thinking, still cling to us like a bad smell, even though we've emerged from the tomb. Who knows that I'm right? Yeah. Not about you, but the person next to you. I'm right about them, right? Yeah. For example, even though we've become a Christian, you could still have an anger issue. I met some angry Christians. Wow. You may have a drinking issue, addiction issue. You may have a fear issue. You may have a lust issue. You may have a victim mentality. Woe is me. You may find it hard to forgive people. These things do not mean you're not a Christian. Yeah, you're a Christian. These things are part of your old grave clothes that still remain tied to you. That's what's going on. You're a new creation. You are a Christian through faith in Christ alone. But it's time to discard the smelly grave clothes and embrace God's robes of righteousness. And we all wrestle with our smelly grave clothes. Rochelle wrestles with her smelly grave clothes. I wrestle with my smelly grave clothes, of course I do. But God in His sovereignty, He's delegated the responsibility of unwrapping the grave clothes that we all have of our past life to us and to our Christian community and our Christian brothers and sisters. Jesus said to Mary and Martha and their friends concerning Lazarus, "You unwrap him and let him go." And brothers and sisters, this is a really powerful statement that Jesus made. Really, it's a loaded statement for us today. Jesus is really saying, you come together and minister life to one another. Come together. You come together and encourage one another. You come together and worship Jesus together. You come together and pray together. Pray for one another. Can I say this? When somebody tells you they got a problem, if you know, and you say, "I will pray for you," could you please remember to pray for them? Words are cheap. Actions mean everything. Pray for them. And Jesus saying, you come together and cheer each other on. Amen. Freely you've received, freely give to one another. That's what Jesus was saying. Amen. Now we know we live in a very selfish culture. Australian culture is just extraordinarily selfish. And you know, selfishness isn't unique to us. It's certainly no new thing. You know, selfishness has always been part of the sinful nature since the fall. We all want to understand that. But our culture, Australia, and that includes America and England and all of them too, but our culture has turned selfishness into a valued worldview. And they've rebranded it and called it individualism. It's driving the politics of this country today. I don't want to go there. So we constantly see the rights and the opinions of individuals or small minority groups bizarrely being elevated to the detriment of the whole country. You all know what I'm talking about. Consequently, Australian society is fractured and polarized. They're desperately trying to put band-aids on the whole thing. I don't want to get carried away with that. I want to stick with this. Our society is fractured and polarized, and it's not doing well. And so socially, our country is in a free fall. And everybody's pretending it's not. It is. It's in a free fall, and it's not going to end well because a crash is coming to Australia. Absolutely it is. We're seeing this in the United States of America. That's the world. But a lot of this selfish ideology is just splashed all over Christians as well. And over the church. Because we're part of the society. We go to work, we go to school. You know, we talk to, we've got non-Christian friends, and, you know, watch TV. What? Yeah, amen, yeah. What can I say? Anyway, but it gets in you. It rubs off on you, Rochelle, doesn't it? Anyway, that's it. It is enough. Because everybody loves Rochelle more than me anyway. I know that. But, you know, it does. It splashes on us, you know. And we become like the world. And sometimes you can become like the world when you don't mean to become like the world, but you do become like the world because it happens subconsciously. And so consequently, many Christians have unconsciously bought into individualism, and they view the Christian life as a private matter and the church as an event. Many Christians across our nation do not consider it necessary to belong to a church community anymore. COVID's sped that up. Yes. People can stay at home, and we're going to keep broadcasting. I don't want anybody to misunderstand. I don't have a go at anybody. I'm just saying the realities are that there's a lot of Christians now who have piked out and are just watching church at home when they could be coming to a church service somewhere. Yeah. And the reason why is, without maybe articulating it, they think they can be a Christian all by themselves. I bump into people like this. But with all due respect, and I do mean to be totally respectful, that idea that you can be a Christian by yourself is about as dumb as Lazarus hopping away from his sisters while he's covered in the foul grave clothes, thinking that he will be just fine all by himself. You can't do the Christian life by yourself, isolated from other believers. You need other believers in your life. You might not want other believers in your life, but you need other believers in your life. You need the church community with its warts and all and everything. You need the church community to help you become the person God's called you to be. And you'll never be the person God's called you to be except by other believers being involved in your life. Other believers need you as well. You've got gifts. You've got a calling. When you're not with us, we hurt and we lack. Other believers need you too. You're part of the body of Christ, and the body's not complete without you. And I'll say this, quite frankly, I need you. Yes, yeah. You know, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I don't need anybody. I need you. You need me. And I need lots of help. Yes. This will be a surprise to you, but I actually don't have it all together. I seriously don't have it all together. Thanks. Anyway, Paul. Love you, Paul. But the good thing is, I've got you to help me. Yeah. I need your prayers. I need your friendship too, by the way. Yes. I value friendship. I need your understanding when I say something stupid. I need your forgiveness when I make a mistake. I have a bad attitude, not sometimes I do. I need your love. I need the word of the Lord through you. I need your kindness. I need your example to me. I need to be inspired by you. And you need me too. You need me. You might not always agree with me. That's okay. That's all right. I don't always have it right. You might not agree with me. I might even annoy you from time to time. Rochelle will tell you all about that, what it's like to be annoyed. But we desperately need each other. We need each other. Jesus didn't say to Lazarus, "Now, your sister's going to come and help unwrap you. Do you like her? Is she all right?" No, you unwrap him. We desperately need each other. Lazarus needed his sisters and friends to get out of his grave clothes. Just about finished. And we all need our brothers and sisters to help us get out of our grave clothes so the life in us can be seen to others. We need each other. And what I've just said to you is the truth. Could somebody say amen?
Amen.
Let me just give you the conclusion, then we're going to pray and finish singing. So in 2021, let's be like Mary and Martha and take Jesus to our family and friends. That's the first point I want to make. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. And we do that through our friendship, love, and authenticity. Don't preach at people. You know, show your love to people. That's important. There's more. There are more Lazaruses to raise from the dead. So we want to keep the main thing the main thing. And the second point is this. In 2021, let's help each other get out of our grave clothes. Let's be here. Let's show up. Let's minister one to another. Let's intentionally love the church. Church has got a bad rap, and probably deservedly so. You know, I know there's a lot of politics and, you know, institutionalized. I know all of that. I know. But in spite of that, I still love the body of Christ. We're, the church is meant to be the people, not an institution. The church is people, not a building. So let's choose. We're going to love one another in Jesus' name. Amen. The body of Christ. And can I say this? We're going to be respectful to other churches who have different traditions to our own. We're not a better church than anybody else. This is just the way we do church, but they're also brothers and sisters in other different traditions. Amen? We're going to love the body of Christ. That's what we're doing in 2021. And we're going to intentionally build each other up. Let's love one another. 2 points. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. Let's love one another in Jesus' name. And if we are faithful to doing these 2 things in 2021, then we will do well in this year. Amen. Amen. That's all I got to say. Could everybody stand? Let's just stand. Come on, let's just pray. I just want to take, and we're going to finish in with a note of victory. But everybody, let's just close our eyes. Could somebody say Jesus? Jesus. You know, He's called your name. Now you call His name. Jesus. 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 And right now, in your mind, just think of your family, who you love dearly and who you've been praying for years. But I just wanted to stir you up again, not to give up. Keep the main thing the main thing. Just keep loving them. Keep being authentic. Just think of your family. Think of your friends. Could you say a prayer for them right now? Name your children. Name your parents. Whoever it is that's on your mind right now, who's far from God in this spiritual tomb, pray for them right now. Come on, you've in your heart. Pray for them that this year will be their year. It's harvest time for them in Jesus' name. Come on, pray. People down the back. Mates at work. Father, use us, Lord. Use us. And Father, all of us have got friends. We've all got family that are far from You, that we love desperately. Many of them we've been praying for donkey's years. Many we've repeated the gospel to them and seen no results. But Lord, we're not giving up. And Lord, we pray over this year today, Lord. We pray 2021 will be their year. Lord, use us, Lord, in the way we behave, the way we react, the way we conduct ourselves. Lord, our conversation. Lord, when we walk into the rooms where our family is sitting, or our friends are sitting, or even in the workplace, when we walk into a room, may we bring the presence of Jesus into the room. Lord, we pray. Pray people will thirst for what we have, Lord, so that You will call their name and they'll be born again. Now, could you just pray for one another? You might not even know the person's name next year. You might be new here today. Glad you're here, but why don't you just pray even if you don't know their name? Just take a sneak look at who's standing around you and take 10 seconds just to pray that this will be a breakthrough year for the person's standing near you. Come on, breakthrough year. A good year. Fruitful year. Oh, it's going to be a good year. Hallelujah. This is a day of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God is moving. And now we're just going to pray. We're just going to pray. Maybe you have tremendous disappointments, heavy disappointments. You've suffered loss. There's been things about life that's been cruel to you. Maybe even dreams that you had that have just completely, just shattered dreams. Oh, I just want to pray for you. I'm going to pray that Jesus is going to call your name out again. You know He can call your name out lots of times. The best time is when He calls you out to be born again. But when you find yourself locked in with your back to the wall, Jesus comes and He calls your name again. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Father, we just come before You. And I just pray for great people, good people, faithful people. Many of them, Lord, have got scars from their lives. Many are bruised. Many are battered. But they're still standing. Still standing by the grace of God. They're still standing. And I pray for them. We pray for one another. I pray for those who have suffered loss. Those who have got shattered dreams. And time's gone by. Father, I pray that, Lord, you'll restore hope. And I pray for new dreams, new vision, new life. For my brothers and sisters, that this year won't be a year of just getting by, another same old year. But Lord, we speak prophetically over one another today. And we say to one another, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. It's time to have new dreams, new vision. It's harvest time. We pray this in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're one of those people who are far from God. And if you died today, you're not even sure you're going to go to heaven. And you're in church today. God's speaking to you because He desperately loves you. He wants to call your name today. He's whispering to your heart today. Will you respond to Him? And if you're saying, yes, I want to respond to Jesus. I want to become a Christian. I want to be right with God. Before we finish this service, can we say a prayer for you? Please give me a wave of your hand if you say, Pastor, say a prayer for me. I want to be a Christian. I want to respond to Jesus today. Give me a wave. God bless you. Anybody else? Put your hand right up so that I can see it. Yeah, down the back. Thank you. Another one down the back. Another one. God bless you. Anybody else? Another one right down the back in the doorway. Thank you. Yep. Okay, Father, we just pray right now for those who have just raised their hands. Lord, they're having a Holy Ghost moment right now. And we pray you will call their name. Whatever the name is, speak resurrection life into their spirits today. Set them free as they walk out of their spiritual tomb and become born again, belonging to Jesus. We declare, Lord, that your hand is upon them and that you've raised them from the dead this morning. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, and they shouted,